भगवते वासुदेवाय राम नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय राम नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय In the Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Brahma's Prayers to Lord Krishna. Text number 2. Word meanings asya, of this, api, even, deva, O Lord, vapusha, the body, mat anugrahasya, which has shown mercy to me, sva icha mayasya, which appears in response to the desires of your pure devotees. Mat tu, on the other hand, bhuta mayasya, a product of matter, ka, brahma, api, even, na ishe, I am not able, mahi, the potency, tu, indeed, avasitum, to estimate, manasa, with my mind, Antarena, which is controlled and withdrawn. Sakshat, directly. Tava, your. Eva, indeed. Kim uta, what to speak. Atma, within yourself. Sukha, of happiness. Anubhute, of your experience. Asyapi deva vapusha maranugrahasya Svecha mayasya natu bhuta mayasya kopi Neshe mahitva vasitum manasantarena Sakshat tavaiva kimutatma sukhanubhute Asyatma deva vapusha maranugrahasya Svecha mayasya natu bhuta mayasya kopi Neshe mahitva vasitum manasantaruna Sakshat avaiva kimutatma sukhanubhute Asyapi deva vapusha maranugrahasya Svecha mayasya natu bhuta mayasya kopi Neshe mahitva vasitum manasantaruna Sakshat avaiva kimutatma sukhanubhute Asyapi deva vapusha maranugrahasya Svecha mayasya natu bhuta mayasya kopi Neshe mahitva vasitum manasantarena Sakshat avaiva kimutatma sukhanubhute Asyapi deva manasantarena Asyapi deva chamayasya natu bhutamayasya kopi Neshe mahito vasitum manasantarena Sakshata vaivakim utatma sukhanu bhute Asyapi deva vapusha maranugrahasya Svecha mayasya natu bhuta mayasya kopi Neshe mahito vasitum manasantarena Sakshata vaiva kimutatma sukhanu bhute Asyapi deva vapusha maranugrahasya Vecha mayasya natu bhuta mayasya kopi Neshe mahitva vasitum manasantarena Sakshata vaiva kimutatma sukhanu bhute Asyapi deva vapusha maranugrahasya Svecha mayasya natu bhuta mayasya kopi Neshe mahito vasitum manasantarena Sakshata vaiva kimutatma sukhanu bhute Asyapi deva vapusha maranugrahasya Svecha mayasya natu bhuta mayasya kopi Neshe mahito vasitum manasantarena Sakshata vaiva kimutatma sukhanu bhute Translation. My dear Lord, neither I nor anyone else can estimate the potency of this transcendental body of yours, which has shown such mercy to me and which appears is just to fulfill the desires of your pure devotees. Although my mind is completely withdrawn from material affairs, I cannot understand your personal form. How then could I possibly understand the happiness you experience within yourself? Purport. In Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Volume 1, Chapter 14, Srila Prabhupada explains that in the present verse, Lord Brahma expressed the following prayerful sentiment. Your appearance as a cowherd child is for the benefit of the devotees, and although I have committed offenses at your lotus feet by stealing away your cows, boys, and calves, I can understand that you are now showing me your mercy. That is your transcendental quality. You are very affectionate toward your devotees. Yet in spite of your affection for me, I cannot estimate the potency of your bodily activities. It is to be understood that when I, Lord Brahma, the Supreme Personality of this universe, cannot estimate the childlike body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then what to speak of others? And if I cannot estimate the spiritual potency of your childlike body, then what can I understand about your transcendental pastimes? Therefore, as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, anyone who can understand a little of the transcendental pastimes, appearance, and disappearance of the Lord immediately becomes eligible to enter the kingdom of God after quitting the material body. This statement is confirmed in the Vedas, and it is stated simply, by understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can overcome the chain of repeated birth and death. I therefore recommend that people should not try to understand you by their speculative knowledge. When Brahma disrespected the supreme status of the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna first bewildered him by exhibiting the Lord's own transcendental power. Then, having humbled his devotee Brahma, Krishna gave him his personal audience. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Lord Krishna's transcendental body can also function through the agency of his plenary expansions, called Vishnu Tattva. As stated by Brahma himself in the Brahma Samhita 5:32, Angan yasya sakalendriya vritti manti. This verse indicates not only that the Lord can perform any bodily function with any of his limbs, but also that he can see through the eyes of his Vishnu expansions, or indeed through the eyes of any living entity. And similarly, that he can hear through the ears of any Vishnu or Jiva expansion. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that although the Lord can perform any function with any one of his senses, in his transcendental pastimes as Sri Krishna, he generally sees with his eyes, touches with his hands, hears with his ears, and so on. Thus he behaves like the most beautiful and charming young cowherd boy. The Vedic knowledge expands from Lord Brahma, who is described in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam as Adi Kavi, the primeval Vedic scholar. Yet Brahma could not understand the transcendental body of Lord Krishna because it is beyond the reach of ordinary Vedic knowledge. Among all the transcendental forms of the Lord, the two-armed form of Govinda, Krishna, is original and supreme. Thus, Lord Govinda's pastimes of stealing butter, drinking the gopis' breast milk, tending the calves, playing his flute, and playing childhood sports are extraordinary even in comparison with the activities of the Lord's Vishnu expansions. Om Jnana Timurandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Srila Prabhupada quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, as he often does. We're fortunate now we have the translation of the whole 10th canto of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. So I looked at that. I noticed that even the first part, the part where there's the quote here from Krishna, the Krishna book, that also follows some of the purport of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So there's a couple of other things I thought were interesting there. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explains, as he does in many of his commentaries, he'll say that this verse or these words spoken are in response to something that may be in the mind of the other person. They're usually two people conversing. So someone will anticipate some objection, and then he'll say, so this person is thinking that, Shukadeva is thinking that, so Preachik says this, and so on. So here, Lord Brahma, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Lord Brahma may be thinking that I'm not qualified for your praise. Krishna may be thinking that way. Krishna may challenge, because Brahma's about to down, he's offering his obeisances, he's going to offer prayers. So Krishna is going to say, he may be thinking, no, you shouldn't offer me prayer because I'm just an ordinary cowherd boy, where he has different arguments. So these are some of the things that Krishna may be thinking. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur lists. He says, you are the master of all powers within this universe. This is what Krishna is thinking of Brahma. You are the master of all powers in the universe, and I'm just a cowherd boy. You're ancient. You've lived for trillions of years, and I'm just a small boy, just a few years old. You know all the Vedas and are endowed with the highest conduct, and I'm an ignorant cowherd. Never studied the Vedas, and I, without proper conduct, you can even see I'm holding this in my left hand instead of my right hand, this food I have here. And you're the controller of illusion and full of bliss, and I'm full of illusion, and I wander the forest in grief looking for my cows. So I haven't conquered over illusion. So this verse, different points that are raised in this verse, Krishna is counteracting or Brahma is counteracting these, contradicting these arguments of Lord Krishna. So, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he says that Brahma mentions five kinds of ignorance, things that he doesn't understand here. Now, when I was reading this commentary of Vishwanath, I couldn't quite understand what the five were. There was some commentary when it says, Brahma has mentioned five kinds of ignorance, and I looked back and I wasn't quite sure what the five were. But I tried to figure it out, so I wrote these down here. I can't understand the greatness of your body, your kaishura pastimes, the extent of the happiness you experience specifically in herding the cows, the cowherd boy's happiness, because they're associates of Krishna, so even their happiness he couldn't understand, and Krishna's happiness in general. So there's a doubt up at the end of this verse. Atma sukhana bhute, the happiness that you experience within yourself. So Brahma says, I can't even understand that. So, this Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also mentions that when Brahma here mentions your mercy, by your mercy you have appeared before me, he may be referring to previously that he saw a different form of Krishna. One thing I thought was interesting was that in the Bhagavad Gita, there's kind of a similar progression here. In the Bhagavad Gita, of course, when Krishna shows his universal form, then he shows his Vishnu form, then he shows his two-armed form. So here also, Brahma has seen the majesty of Krishna in all the Vishnu forms, and now he's seen the two-armed form. So the two-armed form is especially a manifestation of Krishna's mercy, even greater than seeing other forms of the Lord. So we know that Brahma has seen Krishna at least a couple of times previously in the Brahma Samhita, of course, in the introduction to the Brahma Samhita, Prabhupada says that, well, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says, and it's of course on the record, Srila Prabhupada's record where he recites that or reads it, he says, what Brahma saw in his ecstatic trance of pure devotion is being described. So what is that ecstatic trance of pure devotion? That's described in Brahma Samhita. Of course, the Brahma Samhita is quite difficult to understand. The language is different from the language that we're used to, the English. I read recently, actually, that it was written by disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. I read that. It was in Tamal Krishna Maharaj's book about Srila Prabhupada. In any case, the language is quite difficult to understand. And when we chant the Brahma Samhita, we usually start with Ishwara Parama Krishna, and then we jump ahead to Chintamani, Prakata Sagmasu, Venam Kwanantam, and so on, the verses that we're familiar with. But before that, there's a description of Shweta Dweep and a description of how Lord Brahma came to recite these prayers when he saw Krishna at that time. So how did he see him? What was his realization that gave birth to these prayers? So I'm just going to read a few of these verses that come before this Chintamani Prakata Sagmasu. This begins with verse 523. It says, then the goddess of learning, this is, I don't know what the then is, I'm forgetting, maybe after Brahma performed some tapasya. Then the goddess of learning, Saraswati, the divine consort of the Supreme Lord, said thus to Brahma, who saw nothing but gloom in all directions, O Brahma, this mantra, namely, Kling Krishna, Govindaya, Gopi Jana, Vallabhaya, Swaha, will assuredly fulfill your heart's desire. O Brahma, do thou practice spiritual association by means of this mantra, then all your desires will be fulfilled. Brahma, being desirous of satisfying Govinda, practiced the cultural arts for Krishna in Goloka, Lord of Shwetadweep, for a long time. One thing I was thinking was interesting in the Brahma Samhita, Goloka Vrindavan is called Shwetadweep. I'm not thinking of Bhagavatam, it's ever called that, is it? I can't think of it being called that. Because we usually think of Shwetadweep as in this material world, where Krishna, Lord Vishnu, reclines in the ocean of milk. But Goloka is called also Shwetadweep. So Bono practiced the cultural acts for Krishna in the local Lower Shweta group for a long time. His meditation ran thus. There exists a divine lotus of 1,000 petals augmented by millions of filaments in the transcendental land of Goloka. On its wall, there exists a great divine throne on which is seated Sri Krishna, the form of eternal effulgence of transcendental bliss, playing on his divine flute, resonant with the divine sound with his mouth. He plays the flute with his mouth. He is worshipped by his amorous milkmaids with their respective subjective portions and extensions, and also by his external energy, who stays outside, embodying all mundane qualities. Then Gayatri, mother of the Vedas, being made manifest, that is, imparted, by the divine sound of the flute of Sri Krishna, so Krishna's flute gives birth to Gayatri, she entered into the lotus mouth of Brahma, born from himself, through his 8 ear holes. The lotus-born Brahma, having received the Gayatri sprung from the flute song of Sri Krishna, attained the status of the twice-born, having been initiated by the supreme primal preceptor, Godhead himself. So that's how Brahma got the Gayatri, straight from Krishna's flute. Enlightened by the recollection of that Gayatri, that's the Gayatri that's mentioned earlier, Kling Krishna Devambaya Gupi Janavalabaya Swaha. Brahma became acquainted with the expanse of the ocean of truth. Then he worshipped Sri Krishna, the essence of all Vedas, with this hymn. So then we begin with Chintamani Pakara Sudma Sukalpa Vriksha. So that's the context of the Brahma Samhita. How Brahma had this realization. So he didn't have exactly a direct darshan, but he had darshan of the mantra, which is Krishna himself. Then in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know the whole story of Brahma being born from the lotus flower and then being bewildered, not knowing, looking around. There's this beautiful, lots of nice paintings, but there's one I especially like of Lord Brahma up on the top of the lotus and looking down, and the ocean is all churning there, big waves below him, far below him, the things rocking back and forth. He's not sure what he's supposed to do. Then he hears the occult sound, as Prabhupada calls it, tapa. Then he begins his meditation. So then after his meditation, then Krishna is pleased and he reveals himself to him. So the form that he revealed Vaikuntha at that time. Actually, a couple of verses there, I'll read 294 and 299. 294, the last two lines are, Brahmane darshayam rupam. Brahmane is like Brahma, darshayam rupam. He had darshan of the form of Yalika Vratadrita. So avyalika means non-pretentious or non-duplicitous. Avyalika. This word is also sometimes given as nirvyalika. So avyalika or nirvyalika means without pretension, without duality, without hypocrisy. So just sincere devotional, avratadrita, the vow of devotional service. And in the translation, we'll see here, it says, his non-deceptive penance of bhakti yoga. So Prabhupada mentions, and Acharyas mentioned, that the word bhakti yoga is not mentioned in this verse. It just says by his vow. But they say, well, his vow must have been bhakti yoga, because how else do you get Krishna? How else, if his penance was not bhakti, how would he be able to get darshan of Krishna? It had to be bhakti, because Krishna is only known, only seen through bhakti. So his penance was a penance of bhakti yoga, which means his concentration must have been on the form of Krishna, done in devotion to Krishna, or Lord Vishnu at least. So the translation is, O King, the personality of Godhead being very much pleased with Lord Brahma because of his non-deceptive penance in bhakti yoga, presented his eternal and transcendental form before Brahma And that is the objective goal for purifying the conditioned soul. And then in text 299, the personality of Godhead, being thus very much satisfied with the penance of Lord Brahma, was pleased to manifest his personal abode, Vaikuntha, the supreme planet above all others. This transcendental abode of the Lord is adored by all self-realized persons, freed from all kinds of miseries and fear of illusory existence. So here we see Brahma's giving darshan of Vaikuntha, and in what we're reading now, in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he's giving darshan of the form, two-armed form of the Lord. In this verse, it's interesting, Prabhupada uses it often in his this quote from the Krishna book, and also in the verse, we have the word Vapu. So this verse is actually a glorification of the body of Krishna. Specifically, the body of Krishna, the Vapu. Because this Vapu, this particular Vapu, this particular form of Krishna is so extraordinary. Lord Brahma has already had darshan of Lord Vishnu. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur calls Vishnu his Vasudeva form. So he's already seen his Vasudeva, or Vishnu form. But now he's realizing that this form is way beyond me. So completely beyond me. I can't understand it. Even I can't understand it. How can anybody else? He says, Manasantarena. I'm always absorbed in meditation. I'm not interested in external things, external affairs. I'm interested in spiritual things. My concentration is within. But even I, who's always meditating, even I can't understand this form of yours. So what to speak of others? Others may speculate. Others are looking around outside. What's the possibility of them understanding this form of yours? One of the specific qualities of this form, not only this particular form of Krishna, but any form of Krishna, as is pointed out in this verse, Angan yasya sakalindriya vritti manti. You can do anything with any part of your body. Whenever we sing this in the morning, I think about this statement from Bhaktisiddhanta that the audience, the readers, or the hearers of this record, as Prabhupada says, should enter into the spirit of this hymn as a regular part of their daily function, something like that. So, by Prabhupada's mercy, we have these Govinda prayers every day, so we're able to do that, we're able to fulfill that request of our acharyas by meditating on the meaning of this song that we sing every morning, these verses. So one of the lines we sing is this, Angani yasya sakalindriya vritti manti. So Angani means the limbs, the angas. Yasya means of whom, or his limbs. Angani yasya sakala means all of them, or each of them. Sakala indriya. Indriya means senses. Indriya vritti. Vritti means the occupation. Prabhupada talks about the ajava vritti, the occupation of the snake. You know that example he uses, how the snake goes, kills the rat and lives in his place. So vritti means occupation. So indriya vritti, sakala indriya vritti. Each of the senses can do the occupation of any of the other senses. So he can see with his hands and eat with his eyes and so on. So it's nice here, this statement that as Krishna Goloka, Krishna doesn't act that way. He does ordinary things. And that's what is especially bewildering. Of course, I'm not sure how Lord Vishnu does otherwise, but that's another question. In any case, he specifically pointed out that Lord Krishna, the two-armed form as Gopal, he acts in an ordinary way, which is one reason why it's so extraordinary for Lord Brahma. He seems so ordinary. Krishna seems so ordinary. He's just a cowherd, he's not educated, doesn't know the Vedas and so on, all the things that Krishna mentioned about himself. But then we see, he showed that Lord Vishnu he can expand himself in unlimited Vishnu forms and replace all the cowherd boys and so on. So this is his power. His body is Ichyamayasya, La Bhutamayasya. Bhutamayasya means made of matter, made of material energy. His body, when it appears, is not made of the material body. It's made, this is all, this Swa-Ichyamayasya is translated in different ways. What it means really is Swa-Ichya. Swa-Ichya means his own desire. Swa-Ichyaya, by his own desire. So it's translated here as to fulfill the desire of your devotees. So it's by the devotee's desire or by Krishna's desire. Well, it's by Krishna's desire to fulfill the desire of his devotees. That's why he comes. It's not because, it has nothing to do with this material world. It has to do with bhakti. Bhakti is what is the catalyst for everything. I was speaking recently about time. Without time, nothing happens. So really, without bhakti, nothing happens. Love makes the world go round. Well, love does make everything go round. Love makes everything happen. The bhakti between Krishna and his devotee, that's the spark. That's what makes things happen. I probably met with some philosophers and asked him, I think in South America, why is there anything? That was their question. Why is there anything? So Prabhupada's answer in essence was because of Krishna. Because Krishna is, therefore everything else is. That's why. He's the reason. And of course what is Krishna, the essence of Krishna is love. His loving exchanges with his devotees. So we see a manifestations of this. All of Krishna Lila is sprouts from the seed of bhakti. Everything grows from that. Just as our service, when the seed of bhakti is given, then everything grows from that. And ultimately love of Godhead grows from that. So Lord Brahma, we see a kind of maturing of Lord Brahma, an advancement. He's advancing in his Krishna consciousness because of Krishna's mercy, anugrahasya. By his mercy, Lord Brahma is saying, only by your mercy, although I'm not qualified, I offended you. Look what I did. I'm such an offender. And still, I'm not qualified. You give your mercy to your devotees, and I offended you, and still you're giving me mercy. So that's what Krishna does. He gives mercy, and the realization grows out from that. And Lord Brahma's realizations are increasing over and over again. So the verse again, my dear Lord, neither I nor anyone else can estimate the potency of this transcendental body of yours, which has shown such mercy to me and which appears just to fulfill the desires of your pure devotees. Although my mind is completely withdrawn from material affairs, I cannot understand your personal form. How then could I possibly understand the happiness you experience within yourself? Any questions or comments?
Translation that you're reading, I'm thinking only three. I'm missing maybe. Then, first he says that I or not anyone can understand the inconceivable potency of this form. So that's one. The next one he says that I withdrawn all the attachment or from the material world, so still I cannot understand. So that's second probably. And then the third one, maybe I misunderstood, you said that the devotees or your associate, what the enjoyment they get, I don't know. And the fourth one he says that because I cannot understand the form, the what happiness you are getting is like beyond my, what is the fifth?
The way I have it listed here,
okay,
it was the greatness of your body, that's the first one.
Greatness.
Your kashura pastimes. Maybe that's the one.
Okay.
Then the happiness was mentioned twice, and he mentioned the happiness of herding the cows and then Krishna's happiness and the cowherd boy's happiness.
Okay.
That was what I could make out, but I'm not sure that's accurate. It was hard to decipher it.
Kashura form. You are saying kashura form.
Yeah, kashura pastimes and the kashura form, yeah. This particular body, that was the first one.
then it becomes five. That's good.
Yeah.
Also, in Ananta Sanghita, Mahanidhi Maharaj mentioned about the Satadip. You know the book he wrote, Vrindavan, Vrindavan something. No, that's Prabhudananda.
Madhuri Mahima?
Madhuri Mahima, Vrindavan Madhuri. In one of the pages, I remember a long time back, because we are talking about also where is the Satadip located. So Rupa Goswami Pad did say that it's in the referring to Ananta Sanghita, where the story is narrated, Srimati Radharani manifested. Vrindavan manifested by Krishna, but Srimati Radharani manifested Navadvip. And that Navadvip is located in between Samakunda and Radhakunda. That is known as Satadip.
Uh-huh.
So it is within
the Navadvip in Vrindavan is between Radhakunda and Samakunda.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. We'll see someday. Nothing else? Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Thank you.